Okay. Welcome. You're listening to WCSB Cleveland at 9.3 FM. Wait for it. Wait for it. The Travis Larson Band.
Hello.
Hi, Randy.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Randy.
Jen.
Randy.
Randy.
Dale.
Randy.
Travis.
Randy. Randy, wow. Randy, Randy.
I want to throw out there, first of all, this is the first live show in quite a while.
Well, not for us, for you.
For me.
Yeah, because every time we come here, it's exactly like it is right now.
I know, it's exactly the same.
But for some reason, what, we brought you out of retirement? I was talking to Chris the other day, former drummer for Doug Johns, and he goes, I didn't even know that guy was doing a show anymore. Because there was such a big campaign that you weren't going to do it, and now you're still doing it. So we need to re-campaign.
Yeah, where's the Returning to Air campaign?
Yes.
Well, that started back in about January. I can't believe I've been recording the show now for almost a year.
Yeah? So the show's still on every week.
Every week,
You're
yeah.
You're just we're literally sitting here live like we are right now.
Correct, yes.
Gotcha.
And it was very, very bizarre because I've now learned I didn't know how to unlock the door for you from right, our remote unlock button.
My other question, Randy, is I'm only hearing anything out of my left ear in these headphones. Does that mean that's what the rest of the world is hearing?
No, I have a stereo mix here.
Oh.
So I'm hearing both sides.
This isn't the Brian Wilson mix?
No.
Okay.
No, it's in stereo.
Did anybody get that?
Yeah.
But you know what? If you turn your headset around, you hear it on the other side.
Oh, well, exactly. But I had it cupped on my forehead a minute ago. Oh. I need everything more in my headphones. Everything. Everything louder.
You could turn it up.
Well, no, I just meant when it was on my forehead. Now it's fine.
Okay.
I'm going to blow out my left ear for the first hour, and then the second hour, I'm going to flip it over and blow out my right ear.
Well, I'll be a lot louder the second hour.
You're so foolish to let us on your first live broadcast.
I know. What was I thinking?
How you been, buddy?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
We're good, man. We've been on the road. Dale's got one of these spring-loaded desk chairs, and you know how you release it and you fall 2 feet?
Yeah.
On your your tailbone?
That's he's what he fun just to did. Watch.
Yeah. It's like he looks like a car on like a hydraulic lift. Anyway.
Next.
Yeah,
looks like a lowrider, huh?
We've been, we did January with the Aristocrats, and then we basically took 6 months off to, like, recoup, and then we started this tour on July 31st, and we've pretty much been out ever since. I think we've been home, like, 8 or 9 days total since then.
You're kidding!
No, it's been pretty solid.
And, wow!
Yeah, we're here with you. We started this run, we flew to,
Richmond, Virginia,
and that was a couple of weeks ago. And kind of in and out of our dates, we're doing a few dates with Tony McAlpine on this run, which is fun. We did one a couple of days ago in Philly, and then last night we were in Akron, Ohio, at a new venue that everybody should check out. By the way, Jilly's Music House or Jilly's Music Room. Have you been to this place, Randy?
I have not.
Really nice place.
Like, so you're giving it the thumbs up?
I am totally giving it the thumbs up. Upscale place. Very, very cool. And we had a great show there last night with Doug. And we got into a 30-minute jam with him. And we got Chris on the drums again, which was fun.
Yeah, man.
Hey, how you guys doing? He's going to call in about an hour from now, I understand.
Yeah, I'll be calling in at 2 o'clock. Yeah,
you,
man.
You know Doug Lugs. He loves to smoke.
Smoking.
He's smoking right now, I guarantee it. He's listening to the radio and he's smoking.
Well, you know, he said he was at home dealing with a plumber.
Oh. Well, sometimes you got to do it.
I guess we just don't go there. So. Poor Doug.
And tonight we're going to be at Wilbert's.
Yeah.
Again, back at Wilbert's. I just talked to Mike Miller, the owner, on my way here.
I'm so sorry. How's Mike doing?
He's doing good. He tells me he only answers the phone for me. That's what he said, and his wife.
Now, if I call him, you think he'd answer the phone?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I usually don't.
Wow. Wow.
That's not true.
That's not true. Of all the people that call me Randy, you're one of the people that I answer the phone
for. How many
for.
People call you Randy?
Nice.
Top notch. Top notch.
Yeah, well, see, so, I'm blowing off the rust.
Right, right. So, yeah, you like how I just keep seamlessly crossing back and forth between the interview part and the we slam each other?
Yeah, right? you're starting out early today, aren't you?
Right. No, never.
Absolutely. You're really getting a jump on
this. Well,
started
out a little early. She said, why we got to get up and go do this radio show?
She didn't have to.
She was sound asleep. We got up at the crack of 11 to get here. But we were up till 4. You know how it is for musicians.
That's still 7 hours.
Yeah, that's what I said, but it's not enough. we were out on the West Coast for 2.5 months, I think, or the Western states, and we did a big festival up in Oregon called Guitar Under the Stars, which your West Coast counterpart at Guitar Shop Radio from Portland. Maybe we've talked about her.
No,
we got to get you guys. You know, talking, because you guys are like the only two people doing these kinds of shows in America anymore. And if there's more, then feel free to go on Facebook and correct me, and I'd love to do your show.
Is she on right now?
She's on Wednesdays, I believe.
Well, we should call her up and throw her on the air.
Yeah, she's probably listening.
Beat her up.
Victrola.
Victrola, call.
Her name is Victrola?
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's her handle. That's her
handle.
Wow. We call her Vicky for short.
Okay.
But you should call her Victrola.
Victrola, though, that's like an old record player or something, right?
Yep.
It's something.
Yeah. So anyway, we were up we did a festival in Oregon with Pat Travers, Jennifer Batten, Gary Hoey, who else? Bruce Boullier from Racer X. And
Lita Ford.
Lita Ford was the headliner. It just goes on and on and on and
oh,
on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was like a 2-day thing out there. It was a lot of fun. And then we, just at the end of our the Western States run, just went to Mexico again, where we went with the Aristocrats back in January. We went and did the same venue, and we shot a DVD and recorded a live album, which we haven't heard the whole thing, but knock on wood, it will be out next year. So that is your next, you were just asking about a new album coming out. We're releasing another live, because the last DVD we put out now is like, what, seven years ago? Something like that?
2009.
6 years ago? 5 years ago?
4 years
it
ago?
It seems like.
Do you need more fingers?
20 years ago.
I got some fingers for you.
Oh!
But it was...
Poor Travis.
That was stupendous. Yeah. You know, you need to start like just having a running cam on this show that broadcasts online,
like a streaming. I will not have one of the computers like watching us every move.
No, that would be great. Like much would. Like the because then you know the you can censor audibly and not visually. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Much like you just did with your fingers.
Not a problem.
But, you know, like Stern.
I have a finger for radio.
I have a finger for radio.
Oh,
you keep pushing
my.
The mute button.
It's right there. It's at arm's length.
So we just went and shot a new HD DVD.
Fantastic.
Yeah, which came out really, really great. And it was... It was a crazy venture, because we went down there and there was like 2 feet of rain happening in the 4 hours before we were to go on. I mean, and it never rains in Mexicali.
So now, were you like wearing raincoats?
Well, we were inside the venue, Randy. Oh, I mean, we drove through the rain. But
thinking this was an outside gig.
No. It was a big venue. You could see pictures on Facebook and all that kind of stuff if you go searching around. But,
it was crazy.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
That's all Jen has to add is that was crazy.
I'm sorry.
That's all there was to say about it. It was crazy.
I'm going to let them take it because I always get, I always talk too much.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, you know what's really funny, Travis, is the fact that it was crazy and I wasn't there.
That's true.
So consider yourself lucky.
You know who we got to go with us, though, and it wasn't going to work out that way originally, was Mark Storm, who we usually have with us here from Electro Voice.
Captain EV.
Captain EV, yeah. He, that's what we're going to start calling him.
Yep. We're all just looking at each other going, why do we not call him that?
So, it was the Southwest leg, so we had like a... Here's how it went. We started in the Northwest. We did like 2 weeks, going up through California, Oregon, Washington, And then we were going to have 2 weeks off, right? And the weekend between the 2 weeks off, we got a call while we were doing the Northwest to play the Prague Day in North Carolina, which I think you've been to, right? Have you been to Prague Day? Or
no, I haven't.
You've been out to some kind of progressive festival, because I remember you telling us.
I was at the New Universe Music Festival.
Okay. Might be people involved with both. I'm not sure.
Probably is. But it's not that big a state.
Yeah. Prague Day. So Prague Day is an international festival. Almost. I think there were two U.S. bands, and we were one of them. I think that was the deal.
Wow. Who was the other U.S. band?
I don't remember. Mm-mm. These are some Prague-y Prague bands.
They left a real impression on you, I see.
Well, we came out from the West Coast just for our 90-minute set, and then we went back.
Yeah. So this was the two-week story. We were going to have 2 weeks off between the Northwest leg and the Southwest leg of the shift tour. And so we ended up spending 4 days going out to play 90 minutes at this festival, because it's such a cool thing to do. And so we literally, you know, but 4 days of travel to get out there.
So it was a real shift.
It was a shift. And we went out there. So nice. We spent, you know, chewing up much of our off time doing that. And then we had 4 days before we started the Southwest run, which we ended up going out, and that's when we did the DVD shoot. We went out and we played, you know, through Utah and Colorado and New Mexico and Arizona and all that stuff, and then the Mexican gig, and then we hit you know, kind of the southern end of California, and did San Diego and Vegas. Well, so I guess we veered into Nevada there too.
Yep.
And
veered recklessly.
Right.
Careened.
And so that was that. And then we had 4 days, and then we flew out here to Richmond, Virginia, and started this run. And we just had a killer little run out in New York. We did three nights in New York, and Magic Elf came out of retirement. Those guys haven't played in 5 years.
You're kidding.
So they opened for three nights, I think. And then there's a band called Ad Astra out there that's a great fusion band you got to check out.
Joe Narduli?
Yes.
Correct. Well
correct.
Played.
Yeah.
Yes. We stayed with Joe.
Yeah.
We stayed with Joe.
He and his family put us up for 4 days.
On Long Island.
Yeah.
Ad Astra is phenomenal. This came out great.
Yeah. They are absolutely that good live.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Very, very cool guys. So, hopefully Joe is listening. I mean, the Magic Elf guys, you already know how great they are. But, you know.
I haven't seen Carl in a while, and I haven't spoken to Dave Miranda, the drummer with Elf.
Yeah, those guys.
In quite a while.
It sounds like those guys are going to start doing some stuff. We're talking about maybe dragging them out to the West Coast at some point, and hopefully they start being more active, because that's too good a disc not to play that music.
Oh, yeah, they're a great band. They've really done some nice stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And we always have fun hanging out with them. Dave is an amazing drummer and very much the showman, you know, even though it's like he's got the best poker face, because, you know, after the show, the self-loathing musicians all sitting around going, oh, man, I was terrible. Or was that, how was that? Or was that any good? You know, but you watch us all on stage and we're all smiling really big like, yeah, this is going great, right? It's all poker face, folks.
Well, Dave Miranda knows his music.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was writing for a Michael Knight.
That's right.
Publication, Guitar 2001.
So I remember that.
Guitar 2001, I mean, that was 13 years ago that thing pretty much exceeded its limit.
Yeah.
But I've known Dave, I bet it's been close to 20 years. Because it was in the 90s that I started working with Michael Knight a little bit with that and got to meet Dave. And Dave had his top 10 of great rock or, you know, fusion songs.
Right.
And he had like Return to Forever in there and Jeff Beck and went down that list. And I was questioning what he was putting up there opposed to why he chose one over another. So I was being critical of Dave. And Dave responded by, I don't know what I'm talking about. So it was a lot of fun, and Dave's just a wonderful guy. I have to say, Miranda's the best.
Yeah, he's awesome. Well, out on Long Island, you have to say it that way. That's what they tell me. You have to say Long Island.
It's Long Island?
One word.
Hard G.
We just call him Dave Elf.
Dave Elf?
Yep. And speaking of him being a good dude, one of the reasons we can do shows out in Long Island. I don't have it down yet. You know, he's always willing to lend me drum gear and make sure that I can use his stuff. So thanks, Dave. Thanks, Elves.
Wow. And you're going to be using somebody else's drum kit tonight.
Yes. Jay.
Oh, my.
Jay Sims.
Jay Sims.
Yeah.
And then we've got AJ, Jay Yo on bass. And what were they calling me the other night?
T-Lars.
T-Lars.
T-Lars. On Long Island. Travis is T-Lars.
T-Lars on Long Island.
Real deal. They're not joking around. They call him T-Lars.
That was actually an Erie, but whatever.
Oh, thank you.
But
correct.
It doesn't matter.
Erie, sorry.
So it's the Shift Tour now.
Yeah, well, it's the this will be the last bit of the Shift Tour, and then
so it's going to shift into something else.
It's going to shift into us continuing to play some songs off Shift because we're putting out a live record next year. But we got to figure out what we're going to call that. Is it either like we might
Shift
might,
happens maybe
Shift? Well, we were talking about maybe Shift happens in Mexico or Shift happens in Mexicali.
Yep.
Something like that.
That's fabulous.
So, yeah.
You've been talking to Doug Johns, haven't you?
I've been talking
Pocket
to Doug Johns,
Pocket Full of Nasty.
Yeah, right.
Spank.
Blomp. Well, we have a song called Zock on the new record.
Yes.
Which is,
Doug Johns spelled backwards.
No, that's Cause, like Dave Cause.
Yeah. Oh.
But Zock is named after a Batman action bubble. You know, on the old Batman TV show with Adam West?
You know, that was on recently. They had one of those marathons.
Did they really?
And I went and recorded them all.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know what we're doing later at your house.
No, I watched them and got rid of them. I never thought about that, but yeah. Holy hole in a donut, Batman.
Well, here's the beginning of the story is, you know, we live in San Luis Obispo, California, which is a small town halfway between L.A. and San Francisco, right? It's kind of a smaller version of Santa Barbara, even, if you're familiar with California Coast at all. And so we have their big international film festival every year. And just to tell you what kind of town it is, the big celebrity movie star that they brought in this past year was Adam West. Can you name an Adam West movie?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, a guy last night named one, and I thought I was the only one that knew this. But
well, I guarantee you I'm not going to name the one that you're coming up with. But,
no, you are.
They
did make
a feature Batman movie.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Aside from that.
You said the name of an Adam West movie. I did.
The guy yelled it out last night, and now I can't quite remember because I'm blanking out. But it was like one of those like 70s kind of adult movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like Emmanuel or something they used to show in the middle of the night on Showtime. He wasn't one of the adult people. He was like the nerdy comic relief guy, right? Old people like me will remember this. But anyway, so Adam West, big celebrity guest. But a guy last night, he yelled out the name of that movie.
Yeah,
remember that?
I heard. Yeah.
And I was like, wow. I thought it was the only one. And I was never willing to admit it until that guy yelled it out. And then I was like, okay, all right. You want to play?
And let me guess, you didn't shake hands with him, did you?
No, I didn't. I'm not sure who it was, actually.
No, me neither.
Oh.
But anyway, so the big celebrity guest at the film festival, Adam West. So on the old TV show, the Batman TV show, they have action bubbles, right? When somebody would get punched or hit or
kicked
or whatever.
Zonked.
Yeah, so there's one lick in Zock, you know, which, you know, now I'm leading up to Zock. Maybe that should be the next song that we play. But there's one lick in Zock that is like the sound of the action bubble, right? It's a wow. It's like a big unison bend. Guitar players will know what I'm talking about, like a unison bend slide. And so we had to call it some kind of action bubble. Jennifer went on Google and started searching around.
Indeed, I did. I'm sorry, I'm not being very helpful, Travis. I'm enjoying the interview.
It's a 90. There's no, my 90 more minutes. So.
All right.
I'm so tired.
Yeah, we still got a little bit of
Jennifer,
ways to go.
Jennifer, I'm so tired.
So tired.
Well, you know what, Walt?
So
Travis gets a cat nap.
If she's not, she's not going to continue. So she goes on Google,
and there was an action bubble website, and Zoc was one of the action bubbles. It's not really that fascinating a story.
Well, it's all in how you tell it.
Right. So
you sound
ahead.
Like you're going to fall asleep then.
Yeah, I wouldn't have come up with looking on Google or Yahoo or whatever you looked at to find
so here's the thing,
action
though.
Bubbles.
So we never knew. I was always questioning each audience what the move was, though. What is the Zoc move, right? And so, Jen, we were in Bakersfield, California. You know,
and she did it to you?
I'm in Bakersfield, California, listening to gospel music on the color radio station. You know Bakersfield, right? So, anyway, Jennifer says it is...
a Bakersfield punch to the neck.
That's the Zoc move.
The Zoc move.
So if Batman and Robin were in Bakersfield, and if Batman and Robin were in Bakersfield, really, wearing those kind of slightly loose satin tights,
they would get punched in the neck.
They would get punched in the neck.
They would get Zoc'd for sure.
Oh. And on that note, with the Travis Larson Band, here's something called Zoc. Stop that. Alrighty, something called Zoc.
We're just playing the whole record now.
Yeah, we are. We'll get it out of the way.
So the last tune was Zoc. The first tune that you played was...
Breakaway.
Rockaway.
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 But you need some glasses, Randy.
Oh. This live show
in
thing
fact,
sucks.
Why don't you just go take, you know, take an hour and get some lunch and come back and
you know what?
We'll
don't,
be done.
Don't make me put my glasses on.
So Rockaway, we actually, we meant to have that worked up for this tour. And that's actually kind of a tribute to our New York guys out there because we have such fun going out and playing on Long Island. So that tune has kind of like in disguise, in a heavy rock fusion-y kind of way, it has a little bit of a Billy Joel element. And we'll let people figure out what that is. And then there's a bunch of stuff that sounds nothing like that. But it's kind of buried. There's a Billy Joel element that's buried in that song. And then the last song we just heard is Zoc. So those big unison bends in the chorus are the Zoc part. That wow, wow, you know, where somebody would get punched. Fascinating, I know. It's all, you know. It's all part of the artistic process.
It's instrumental music. I mean, you have to explain
it. You can call it anything you want.
Music to punch people by.
Yeah, music to give people a Bakersfield punch to the neck by.
Wow. Jen, have you ever Bakersfield anybody? I mean, it's just funny how she would know what the violent name is.
Oh, yes. There was a band in our hometown, Peter Will. Peter Will was from Bakersfield. And he talked a lot about the Bakersfield punch to the neck. So I just know it vicariously. Yeah.
It's our kind of under the radar, vicarious way to keep Peter Will alive.
Yes.
Peter Will is no longer with us, but we give him a shout out every now and then. He did not play Rock Fusion. He played like Bakersfield full throttle hillbilly rock and roll.
Oh, you gotta love that.
You gotta love it. And he was a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
Now, is that where you got some of your chicken picking from?
No.
We got nothing from Peter Will except enjoyment.
Except attitude from him and pure enjoyment, yes. No, my chicken picking, which I never really do any chicken picking, not on records anyway, but that's all, you know, Steve Morris is the chicken picker of the bunch. And as you know, he's a huge influence on me, as well as Jeff Beck. You know, Jeff Beck is the reason I started playing. Steve's the reason I started picking. But I haven't added the chicken to the picking quite yet. I can swing, but I don't chicken pick. You know what I'm saying? You just sit there. And
it don't mean a thing if you can't chicken pick.
He chicken just sits picking there and good. Stares at you.
He stares
like
at me like I'm... It's like... You know, I'm on some kind of, it's like a government facility, and you're just
waiting for you to mess up.
Yeah, it's like you're watching me, waiting for me to crack.
I'm ready to pounce. Is that what you're?
No, I don't know that you're ready to pounce. I think you're just sitting there, like.
Well, you yeah. Now you have a tough audience here with Jen and Dale. So you screw up, they're going to be on you,
right?
More than I will.
That's true.
If Jen wakes up.
And I'm not thought, good at these things. I'm
the
not
thought
good
of Dale things. Being on me does not appeal.
See, Dale's not contributing either. Come on.
But he just sits there and smiles a lot. Every so, once in a while, Dale will say something. You know, just you poke him, he grunts a little bit, and that's the end of it.
Yep. Yeah. Well, now you've got me all afraid to like start preluding other songs because I know you're not going to actually play them anyway.
Oh, I'm going to try a lot harder now. I can't
try
believe
and
that.
Find the number that actually corresponds to the song.
Well, you know what? You're going to make me get the glasses out.
Uh-oh. Hey, have you seen Doug lately playing?
No, I haven't.
Doug, Doug's starting to, like, you know.
Is he doing something different now?
We're all getting older, so when we set up in the dark before a show and stuff, we all, you know, starting to get our reading glasses out, and you stick them on your forehead. Doug just leaves them there. But he's got this move now, which is, it's akin to Dennis Chambers chewing gum and blowing bubbles and playing his drums, where Doug will have his reading glasses on his forehead, and then when it comes to play a complicated part, he just, like, kind of flips his head and they fall down onto his nose. It's like, oh, I'm going to need to see for this part. You know what I mean?
You know, for distance, it's much worse.
Yeah, right.
This is why you need video, Randy.
Yeah, Randy's got
He's demonstrating Randy's the glasses got his flip right glasses now.
On. I'm doing the Doug Johns.
If you could see Randy, you would see him masterfully flipping his glasses down to his
There's almost down. Enough hair to keep those things stuck to your head.
So this is, the whole thing is a good metaphor between...
Oh, that was cold. Wow. I'm sorry, Dale. Go ahead.
Metaphor. Try to contribute, and you're over there squirreling around with your glasses. This eyesight failing is a good metaphor between Doug, a guy like Doug, and a guy like Travis. Travis starting to lose his eyesight, maybe, a little bit. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying. So, but his solution is... this awesome Digitech pedal that he has that takes his iPad that he can just, it's really designed so you can, it can control his pedal board and show him graphic displays of his pedals. But instead, he just puts a big jumbo-sized font set list on it so he can see.
Yeah.
Doug, glasses.
Yeah. Doug doesn't even have a set list. I'm not even sure.
Doug's quote last night was, it's beyond old school, man. It's just stupid. I don't know what he was talking about, but it's...
But that's a good quote.
Well, Doug is kind of...
In fact, that could be like a whole new... I think like a new logo and motto for the Fusion show. I can see it in big letters. It's beyond old school. It's just stupid.
Wow. My new tag.
At least when Travis Larson Band is on, right?
It's beyond old school. It's just stupid.
Oh, that was a little bit of Casey Kasem there, huh?
Yeah, it was.
A little homage.
Keep going.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's beyond old school. It's just stupid. And what's the number one hit of 1964? Randy?
The Travis Larson Band.
You see, actually, he kind of has that a little bit.
He does.
Wow, I never...
That's just wrong.
I never saw it.
So I didn't either until now.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing.
I'm, you know, now I have a whole new career coming.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to do the top 40 Fusion hits. And
40?
That'll take about 5 minutes.
Right. So let's talk about when we get done with this tour.
What are you doing when you get done with the tour?
When we get done with the tour...
Travis, let's ask, what are you doing when you get done with the tour?
We get done in Florida on October 30th, I think, day before Halloween, or October 29th, something like that. Anyway, we'll be home for Halloween, just in time to like give the kids candy before we fall into bed and sleep for 3 months. But,
wow.
But Jen, Jen's actually doing her first solo bass clinic tour in November throughout the New York State, and sponsored by Evie at Guitar Centers near you. So New York State.
Listen up.
If we did not play your town, Jennifer's going to come do it for us at least. I think you're playing... Where are you playing?
Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, and some other place that I don't remember.
It'll be on the website once we figure it out. Or is it
wow.
on the website?
No, it's not on the website yet.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It'll be interesting because, you know, I'm so talkative.
She's going to bring a whole new element to her game.
She's going to be like Randy Aller and just sit there and stare at the audience and make them feel on the spot. So you guys got questions?
You better come up with some questions.
Well, I can wait.
Can be here all day.
Right, right.
Questions or else?
Yeah.
But that'll be really cool. She's doing, we've been getting a lot of requests to do this tune Grace to Wonder off the new record, which is a solo bass piece, and she's been doing that every night, which has been really cool to see. Gives me a chance to actually take a break, which I usually don't have.
And yeah, Dale, you don't too. Get much of a break.
And Dale, too, because you know how Dale... Thank you, Randy. I don't get much of a break, do
no.
I?
No.
We certainly don't give him a break.
And Dale,
see, I was telling you about that nasty audience you got. There it is.
Right, right. Drummers never take a break, you know? Although we used
drummers
to
are always on break.
Elaborate.
Well, we're not talking about musical breaks. We're talking about, like, he actually
mental
gets
breaks.
To go sit down.
Okay, yeah. Mental.
Absolutely. I mean, when's the last time you saw a drummer that was really up there on the kit doing his art?
Yeah.
And knowing what else was going on in the room? Ever well, knowing what's going on.
That's true.
Never.
That's true.
The audience could get up and walk out. The drummer wouldn't know.
Whether he's at his kit or not at his kit, that rule somewhat applies.
So the point, which you've drifted from, is that the drummer never physically gets to take a break during the show.
Right.
However,
physically, the drummer is
apparently,
always
according to Randy, mentally yeah. is always on break.
That's why we have yes. so much energy to physically play, because we're saving all the yep. the energy we don't use thinking.
Yeah, you're saving all that thinking for...
You know what the drummer got on his SAT test, right?
No.
Drool.
Oh, oh wow. You know what you throw a drowning drummer?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
A snare drum.
That's terrible.
Sorry.
That's not a good one.
Hey, we're out doing 4 gigs next week with Tony McAlpine, and we just did one the other night, but who's playing drums for him?
Achilles Priester.
Yeah, this guy has quite a set, let me tell you. It's a jungle gym.
Wow.
It's one of those.
He did not skimp.
Yeah.
No, it's great. That band is killing. They're really delivering the goods on that whole thing.
Wow, that is as public radio impression from Saturday Night Live as I've ever heard.
Yeah. I waded out into that.
The band is, they're killing.
Now Dale killing. Needs a break.
Yep.
Well, recently, Terry Bozzio was in Cleveland.
Oh, is that right?
With his drum kit.
Interesting. He was in Mexico right before we were as well.
Yeah.
At the same venue. Interesting thing about Terry's tours is because we get to see the writers for some of these tours, you know, being industry insiders as we are. That Terry has to have venues where he can literally roll the road cases straight onto the stage, you know, so they won't take places that, you know, have stairs or any of that kind of stuff. Like literally they got to have houses where they can roll into like a loading dock in the back straight onto the stage because
yeah.
it's so big. And there's so much stuff.
A few weeks back, Terry talked about that at length. He has a drum kit where he can set it up himself in about 3 hours.
Great. Yeah, you know, actually most of our opening bands are like that, but the drum kits are only 4-piece.
Yeah, we're gonna have to skirt this and stay vague, but yeah, we've seen some opening bands with a lot of gear.
I'm just gonna leave that one alone.
So did you go to the Terry show?
No, I was out of town.
Where were you?
I was in South Carolina.
Oh, what were you doing there?
Vacationing.
Was it good?
The weather was not real good, no.
No. Sorry.
But then again, it was cloudy.
What kind of vacationing do you do in South Carolina when you're there?
You basically sit around and watch deer. We went on a tour, so we got to see like some of Charleston.
Oh, okay.
We ate at a restaurant called Husk. Which is supposed to be one of the top
in the country.
The top Husk restaurants.
Well, it was... the name of the restaurant is Husk.
What did you order?
I had chicken.
The chicken husk? They don't have, like... They don't have different husks, you know, for... this is great. Randy actually pulls out his cell phone. Oh, he needs the number probably, huh? Is that Doug?
No, that was Karen calling.
Oh, okay.
So she's going
to
call.
She's not listening to the radio show, though.
I think she is, and she's calling. My wife is calling to yell at me because of something I'm not saying right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right, gotcha. Right. She's probably got the real facts on this vacation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Such a fascinating interview. Right.
So I will get beat up for this now. You do realize. Thanks.
Karen,
had to go there.
But a husk restaurant, you know, like where they just, they sell husks of different animals, is that...
No!
I just want to let that go. Let the husk thing go.
He doesn't get it. It's one of the top restaurants in the country.
Okay. It's not like they're making some kind of meal out of husks or something.
No, no.
I was enjoying the dynamic
They weave the placemats, and they make like little plates out of husks.
Right.
They don't hold up in the dishwasher, but
what's great about these is when we get done with these interviews and then they get posted. Wow, that was some kind of effect. Jennifer always goes, I mean, do people really want to hear us talking to Randy?
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's just ridiculous. What?
Speaking of ridiculous, let me remind you, you're listening to WCSB Cleveland at 9.3 FM. We're here with the Travis Larson Band. Travis Larson, Jennifer Young, and Mr. Dale Moon.
It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Yes. And we're playing Wilbert's tonight. Downtown Cleveland, and then we are playing Grillers in Parma tomorrow, which is a cool little place.
It is. It's a very cool little bar. You're getting a really, like, a nice following there.
Yeah, it's been...
But how in the world did you ever get into a place that the square footage of bar space is more than the available space to stand around to watch the band in the venue?
Well, it makes it easy to fill. And you know, the beauty is that because we travel with no gear, we have people kind of outfitting the venue with gear, so it's, you know, they decide how much they're going to fill it up with band equipment, and when they get done with that, then we figure out how much room there is going to be for people to actually watch the band.
So you can get about 6 or 7 people in the club.
Right, exactly. It's like when Terry plays there, right?
Yeah. Show up early. Actually, it's a very nice club. They do a nice job.
Good food.
The food is
very good.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the food is really good.
As was it at Jilly's Music House last night.
Yes.
Yeah, that place is crazy.
Well, yeah, this is becoming like a regular Travis Larson thing. The band won't
play for food.
You won't play at a place that doesn't have good food.
Well,
because Wilbert's has good food.
Why?
Now, what is this? can't play a normal venue? What, you're not doing Guitar Center anymore because they don't serve food?
I just get a text from your wife, Randy.
Oh,
and
no.
It says,
oh no.
There's a jazz fest. With Natalie Cole headlining.
Nice.
Does this mean anything to you?
In South Carolina, yes.
Oh, did you go to this?
No. It's coming up in November.
Oh, okay.
And she's bugging me to go back.
Ah.
Because a Cleveland area guitarist that has moved out, and you might know him. Do you know Tony Polizzi?
Tony Polizzi?
He owes me money.
Ah, there we go. Tony is Natalie Cole's guitarist.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Why? See what happens when you allow the wrong people too much time on this radio
show.
The
wrong people.
I said you were foolish to invite this abuse on your live show.
I know. What was I thinking?
Natalie
Let us just apologize to your listeners. We're sorry.
No, we're not.
This is not good listening.
They all enjoy hearing Randy getting beat up.
All righty. Well, I got something queued up right now. I got the title track from the new... record. The
new Shift album. Yeah, so here's a little background on the intro to this. I started out as a keyboard player. Prog bands like ELP. It's track one, Randy. And so my little homage on this particular record to Keith Emerson, because he's talking about semi-retiring and maybe not playing live anymore. And
really?
He may have already kind of pulled that trigger, because I heard he's... in town somewhere. We just played doing in New York. He was conducting an orchestra as opposed to actually performing. So he's still involved in music, but I think he's laying off. Anyway, the point is the opening of the Shift record and Shift song is kind of a slightly dissonant B3 chord. And it's just a little Keith Emerson, homage.
Well, it's also in a very odd time signature.
Yeah, so there's kind of this weird different accent thing that kind of is offset from the rest of the groove of the rest of the song. So
what time signature is it in?
It's in 5, but the whole song is in 5, but the way they're offset is interesting too. Like this organ part kind of goes through the whole song, but you don't really notice it. Now you will, and if you focus on it, it'll drive you crazy.
It's like that more cowbell thing.
I need more Hammond B3.
Well, we will be back with the Travis Larson Band and Mr. Doug Johns calling in very, very soon. That was Shift. I like that.
That was, so you hear the B3 part?
Absolutely. All the way through.
All I had to do is play like a couple of chords, you know, but.
Sweet.
Now Dale plays them on a pad.
Yep. That's just wrong.
No, it's not.
Well, it's easier to carry the pad than it is the B3.
Yeah. Do you have a B3 at home?
You know, I don't.
A little keyboard that synthesizes.
I've got
lots of friends.
I've got some Korg and Kurzweil units that. But the studio actually has a real B3 in it. Our recording studio, but it's not mine. It's actually our engineer Kip's friend loaned it to the studio, and it just kind of stores it there.
Now this is your studio.
It's a combination. We're like silent partners in this place. Avalon Digital Recording out in San Luis Obispo, which is where they did all the editing and mixing for the Yes Keys to Ascension thing, I believe, back in the day, or some of it. And they did some of the Bella Fleck Flecktones album that won the Grammy Outbound,
wow.
I think. Yeah. And we built this thing back in 1996, spent 2 years building it, 20 tons of drywall, like, I don't even know, 500,000 screws. And that was so we would have a place that we could reside the rest of our lives, as we do. Mm-hmm. And our engineer Kip makes his living off of it. We have a studio that we can use when it's time to record. When I go home and Jen's doing these bass clinics, I'm going to be starting to dig into these tracks from Mexico and see if we played any good.
Yeah, we're kind of premature saying we're going to release this because if we don't come out with it, the only reason will be that we played terribly.
Yeah, but we played okay that night. We played pretty well, so I think it'll be fine.
You do realize now you said it on the show, and I'm going to be bugging you every time we speak.
Yeah, no, it'll
to make sure it's coming out.
It'll come out unless, you know, we set the hard drive on a big magnet or something.
Yeah. When we unloaded our luggage.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna just stick these here. Oops.
Or if that amp falls over. Oh, no.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I thought that was a great story.
What's that?
The oh, no story.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Talking about Guthrie Govan with the Aristocrats. Oh. Yeah.
They named the song Oh, No.
Yeah, we were at that show.
Were you?
Yeah,
Did you see the amp take the dive?
I did not. I showed up about, I don't know, it's right after that, 10, 20 minutes after that. And they were telling us about it. They said Guthrie, you know, his amp had fallen down these steps at this venue in San Francisco. And that he was worried about whether it was going to work or not, but it worked out that it was still okay that night. So he didn't break any tubes or anything.
Was that the Biscuits and Blues show? Oh.
Yeah, it was when Biscuits and Blues, they did the upstairs show. It was mm-hmm. Was it one of the first shows? I mean, not the first Aristocrat show, but first one on that tour.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, my favorite story is Marco Miniman telling how he's very proud that they got a PG parental discretion.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for an instrumental record.
For an instrumental record, yeah.
Yeah, we need to up our swear words in our
titles.
In our titles. Not that they have swear words in their titles, but...
Yeah, they do.
Well, they do, yeah. That's how they got the PG rating.
I guess they do, yeah.
Or the adult advisory.
Yeah, because I think there's just stuff inferred, too.
I think
sweaty
it's all
knockers.
About,
yep.
I think it's all about blues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Blankers.
Yeah.
Blues blankers.
And they got away with it.
We're the good old blues blanker brothers.
Good
brother.
Old blues blanking boys.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
Gotta love it.
So where's Doug Johns?
I don't know.
He was supposed to call
for the
in.
Phone. I'll give Doug a call in a couple minutes if he is going to insist on not calling us.
Because he's playing with us tonight.
Yes.
And we're going to get into some funky jams, man.
He and Jay Sims.
He and Jay Sims. Last night, Chris showed up, who was, you know, Chris Seja, who was Doug's drummer for those guys. How long have they been playing together?
Very long.
An eternity.
No, but what did he say this morning?
Oh, I don't know.
He said like 17,000 years or something like that. But those guys...
I was sorry when Chris decided to take the full-time gig and get out of music.
Yeah, well, he's kind of starting to veer back in a little bit, I think. So we're trying to, you know, we're trying to encourage him to play again, because I tell him flat out it's a crime that he's not playing. He's one of the best drummers in the world.
Yeah, but his stamina is going to be out a little bit. So he isn't going to be able to work the way Dale does.
Yeah,
know?
You're getting old, Chris. Yeah.
Poor Chris.
But so, yeah, they got up. We kind of did like a band hybrid last night where Chris Seja, Doug Johns, and Jennifer and I played on like...
Red Baron.
And then...
Chameleon.
And then we got Dale up and we did Lead Boots. By Jeff Beck. One of the old Jeff Beck classics. So...
It was really, really, really good.
Are we going to have some of that tonight? Any of those old tunes getting
Oh, absolutely.
Small children yeah, cheering.
Absolutely, that's going to happen tonight.
Travis has his own peanut gallery.
Well, you know, you got to be prepared because, like, some of the places, you know, if you show up to, like, a town where nobody knows you.
It'll just be small children.
Right.
Oh. Sorry.
That's just
Hand
wrong.
Over your iPad. You're distracted.
All righty. Enough with the iPad. That is pretty funny, though. That really is. I mean...
Well, you know,
I argue with that.
You do these. The beauty of this show, Randy, is that it starts at 1 p.m, even though that's East Coast time, and still too early for the rhythm section. It's better than the drive time shows, you know. Like, or is that considered drive time? The early morning shows, like these, you know, these kind of morning shows where you get these goofy duo guys on the radio.
Yeah, that's like the morning rush, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the morning.
Doing those drive. Shows is just horrific because we get up at like 4 or 5 in the morning to go to these things. And then you go there and it's like, you know, they've always got like some, I mean, here's the thing. When you tell these truthful stories, you know, and I'm telling truthful stories, you don't want to offend people. So I'm not even going to tell you what they have. But, you know, it's like there'll be like various people from different spectrums of entertainment. You know,
Adam West.
It's a morning show, you know, and it's all about being goofy and wacky and all this stuff, right? And then they're there to like be refined like we are and talk about music, you know.
There's so much of that going on.
Like we've been doing for an hour and 15 minutes.
We're fancy. Well,
what I've found with morning shows is they really don't know anything about the artists that they interview.
Never.
And I realize.
Do you know anything about us?
I know a little bit. I know you got this cute little bass player with you. Oh, wait, no, that's Dale. Never mind.
Drummer.
But
speaking of cute little bass players, isn't Doug supposed to call in soon?
Oh, that was just wrong. But I've noticed, though, I realize they have to do a lot of interviews. In one radio show, they'll do 5, 6, 7 different interviews. Yeah. So they have to be up on everything. They have to know everything that's going on. But I remember that there was a local show here, right. And it was one of the better shows in the area. And not a college, but this was commercial. This was making big money. And they had the Alan Parsons
Project.
That's what they called it, the Alan Parsons Project.
Yeah.
And
I am the eye in the sky.
Well, but Alan was coming under Alan Parsons. The project is no longer because Eric Wolfson passed away.
Gotcha.
So they had that wrong. They had a lot of the songs wrong. They really screwed it up. And then Alan, I guess, was listening and didn't bother calling in.
Oh,
I said,
wow.
Good for him.
Nice.
Now you need the iPad going, yay.
Yeah, right.
But he didn't call in because they had screwed up so much of
the
lead into it.
Stuff, yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, they were probably playing the wrong song.
Yeah. Did you ever see that radio bit that kind of caught wind on YouTube with Billy Bob Thornton, where he was on a radio station up in Canada? And I believe the guy that was doing the interview is a good interviewer, if it's the guy I'm thinking of, like a real deal guy, right? And this guy, I mean, he does like all the Rush interviews up there and stuff, big stuff,
okay.
Right? I forget his name because it's Canada, but it's...
You don't remember, right?
Can't remember anything north of the border. But they, so Billy Bob Thornton goes on this radio station, and he had in the pre-interview told them, don't talk about my acting career at all. Like, don't even bring it up, right? Because he only wants to focus on the music career. Like, he's going to Jedi mind trick people into not realizing that he's a huge movie star for the last 20 years, right? And then the guy said in the interview some passing comment where he had said something like, you know, well, you did a movie like that in 19 whatever and blah, blah, blah. And Billy Bob Thornton got so ticked off at him and just like started shutting up and just wouldn't talk and all
yeah,
this
I've
stuff.
Seen it.
It's ridiculous, you know?
Well, that's an artist that takes himself a little too seriously.
Yeah,
I mean, there are artists
I understand the pre-show interview, and I understand stuff you don't want to talk about and that kind of thing, but there's ways of doing it and there's ways of not. Like the way we control you, Randy, without you even knowing it, you know, the Jedi mind tricking that goes on here.
How's that working out?
Fantastic.
Right. It's really quite something.
Will you take his toys away?
I am not his keeper.
Right.
Somebody needs to be.
We're going to Florida next week, where every radio station's going to be this.
That's going to be the next record.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Dale, you're out of a job. They've found this little box that...
Techno Boogie.
That was going to happen eventually.
Oh.
There's got to be something musical to talk about.
There is. Did you see the online pictures of my broken guitar headstock?
That was terrible.
Wasn't that something?
And they wouldn't help fix it. They wouldn't do anything.
This was
huh?
United Airlines. Well, so here's the end of the story. But, I'll start with the beginning of the story.
There you
How about
go.
That? It's a novel concept. They did end up doing something, but the work it took to get to that point was ridiculous. But... So I was flying out to Jacksonville, Florida to do a grand opening at Guitar Center out there. They were opening a new one. And so I went out to do a clinic. And on the way back, I flew into LAX before I took a puddle jumper back to San Luis Obispo. And so I get to LAX. Let me go back just a second. When I check in my bags in Jacksonville, Florida, the guy checking in the bags, and this doesn't happen a lot because I'm not like John Bon Jovi or somebody, but the guy checking in the bags says, "You're Travis Larson. I've seen all your videos. You know, I really like your guitar playing," right? This doesn't happen every day in airports for us. We're, you know, a fairly small band. And so he goes, "Let's make sure that this thing gets through safely." And he literally pulls out a bunch of Fragile stickers and starts sticking them all over the case, right? And then I say, this is 100% true story, quote, yeah, I say, "Isn't that giving them something to aim for?" And he says, "Ha, ha, ha, no, they, you know, they're professionals and they don't do that." So I get to LAX My plane is like half an hour late, so I've missed my puddle jumper. So I don't even know if I'm going to get home that night. I go down to the gate. I tell them, you know, I've missed my connection. They say there's one more flight to San Luis Obispo. This thing's taken off at like 11:30 at night or something like that. So I go down to that gate and I wait until everybody's on the plane. And they're just basically waiting to see if somebody doesn't show up. So there's one empty seat, right? And so the lady calls my name after everyone's on the plane. They've literally closed the doors. And she says, Mr. Larson, you know, and so I go up there. She goes, we have a seat for you. I don't think your luggage is going to make it tonight. You'll probably go to the airport and pick it up tomorrow. Because literally, we're talking 5 minutes to take off. So I go and I get on this plane. I'm the last guy on. Everybody's looking at me irritated like I'm the guy that was holding the plane up, which isn't the case, but you know how it is. So I get to San Luis Obispo, and lo and behold, there's my guitar on that plane coming out the luggage thing, right? So we take the guitar. The next day, I open it up, and the neck is snapped off. So my theory is that because I was walking across the tarmac to this puddle jumper, they were literally closing the doors to the luggage thing on the side of the plane. I think somebody was hoofing this thing across the thing. They went to squeeze it in as the last piece of luggage after everyone was on the plane, and it probably fell like 6-8 feet flat on the tarmac, right? The guy looks both ways, puts the guitar back into the plane.
Probably, yeah.
Right? So
I mean, it takes a good impact to break a guitar.
Well, in a flight case like that, absolutely. And you know,
right. You had a flight case.
Yeah, and I talked to Ernie Ball Music Man, and they ship them all out that way. You know, they ship like thousands of guitars. Those guitars go on airplanes. They get shipped. They go onto UPS trucks. They go all over the world, right? So it takes a lot. I mean, the company ships every new guitar the same way that I travel with it. So I end up, trying to get the guy at the airport to file a claim and deal with this stuff. And basically, they just kind of brush you off. And it's like, well, we don't cover anything. We don't cover instruments, period. This is United. And we don't cover anything over a certain dollar amount, you know. And it just is what it is. So leave it to the angry bass player to go online and find email. Basically, she's like finding the names of the CO and the COOs of the company and stuff and making up emails based on their names and starts just shooting out, you know, bulk loads of emails until something hits. And so I get a phone call one day from some lady at United that works for the COO, and it's her job to make the problems go away, right? And so she's like, you know, well, I want you to tell me your story if you want to and all this stuff. And you can tell, and she's a nice lady, but you can tell she's getting paid to like smooth things over. And so long story short, or
without
long story
giving
longer,
away the store.
Yeah. So long story longer, I got eventually, after we completely harassed the higher ups at the company and sent them pictures and posted pictures on Facebook and had thousands of hits, you know, where people were passing this thing around. I mean, it went really huge. Every place we play now, somebody comes up and says, how's the guitar? And it's the one I'm touring with that I'll actually be using tonight. But they ended up giving me a flight voucher and like some money for repair. Not a lot of money, but some money. But again, they don't have any kind of insurance thing in place. You would think if you're paying like $35 for a checked bag, they're taking responsibility for that bag, that if it's packed correctly and it's packed in, you know, flight cases, heavy duty equipment, they're going to be able to like take care of it, you know? And so I'm not the only guy. After that, all of a sudden I was seeing posts and emails from other guys, big guys like Steve Vai had just gone to Russia and he had a guitar's neck snapped off, you know, on an airline. I believe it was Russia. Is this Russia? This isn't Russia. No, sorry. It's a quote from Stripes. If we were in Russia. Anyway, and then there was, who was it? Also, Adrian Ballou.
Yeah.
Adrian Ballou was on the road, and he didn't actually get his guitar broken, but they would not let him carry it on in a soft case, even though, you know, it was just a policy. They wouldn't let him do it, even though there was plenty of room to do it. And,
yeah, they won't let you carry on a soft case, but they won't guarantee that they won't break your instrument.
Yeah, and so the thing is, the soft cases, everybody says there's all these laws in place that say, no, it's you know, there's a law in place that says that they have to let you carry on a soft case. It doesn't say that they have to let you carry on a soft case. It says that it's legal for them to let you carry on a soft case. It's still up to the discretion of the flight crew. So if you get a flight crew that says, no, we don't have room, or we're not going to let you do that, that's still up to them. That's their discretion. So even though Obama and his let the musicians carry their instruments on law is great and fine, and it does help move things in the right direction, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that you're going to be able to carry on your instrument. And if you can't carry on your instrument in a soft case, then you're checking it in a soft case. So
yeah,
the safer way, generally speaking, in my experience over the last year, many years, has been you just check it in a flight case. Because, and then you're guaranteed at least it's in a heavy duty case. It's not hopefully getting any more abuse than it would be if you're, you know, shipping an instrument like many people do when they buy them. So how is that from going from comedic relief for 90 minutes to a hardcore lecture on the legalities of flying with an instrument?
We've kind of been watching the whole thing from Cleveland. I haven't seen anything posted on it lately. I haven't looked.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, how do you call Travis up and say, pal, you got screwed. This is ridiculous. This is your livelihood.
Right.
This, if you're a carpenter, this is like they stole your hammer. They broke your hammer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, really expensive hammer.
And don't get me wrong.
It's the same thing. If you're a doctor and somebody breaks your scalpel,
and I am,
you don't wish somebody open.
And I am Mr. Sympathetic when it comes to the world and understanding that everybody's got their plight and that these guys have, like, you know, millions of people that they're shuttling through these facilities every day, and they have to get people where they need to go, and it's a lot to deal with.
But they don't have to bust up people's equipment.
Well, the fact is that if you're going to charge somebody like $25-$35 to care for their thing, think of it like this. If you go and you get your car, you pull up to a fancy restaurant and you do valet, and the guy goes and parks your car, and you give him $20 at the end of the night, and the fender's missing, are you not going to say anything? And is it not going to be his fault? Well, he was driving the car, and I was putting in his care, and I paid him $20, and now he's, like, you know, jammed the fender off of my car. So,
but you know what? There's no responsibility for that. The restaurants don't have any responsibility for anything left in the car.
Well, an interesting
for
thing,
any damage occurring to the car.
Interesting thing I found out, because I got a lot of emails from lawyers when this was going on. You can put a sign up that says anything. It says I don't hold any, you know, I don't have any responsibility for any of this. That's not legally true. If you pay somebody to care for your whatever, you know, for instance, in this case, your car.
Ah, so basically the payment is binding.
Correct. So then you have a contract where they are caring for you. It's like child care. It's like they're caring for your goods. You're paying them to do so. If they return them in a less than perfect fashion, they are liable. But, you know, it's not worth taking, you know, an airline to court over something like that unless you've just got millions of dollars and you want to raise hell. But the interesting thing is that you see those signs in every parking lot in America where it says we're not held responsible for, you know, damage to your vehicle or whatever. But if you're paying somebody to park it, they are. And I believe if you've even paid for parking, they are. They just put those signs up so that you won't pursue the case. This is what I've been told.
Interesting. I can't wait to get robbed so I can fight this.
Right. Well, we'll see what we can do at Wilbert's tonight.
No. Don't do that.
Walk down that one alleyway at 2 in the morning when we're done, you know?
But you might have some crazy disc jockey driving through there. You better watch it.
Right. Exactly.
Hey, so, I got Sticks and Stones queued up.
Okay.
We're here with the Travis Larson Band from the Rate of Change CD. And we'll be back with those guys. We're also going to give Mr. Doug Johns a call.
Sticking stones can hurt me, but words will never will, or something. I don't know.
Alrighty, something entitled Sticks and Stones, the Travis Larson Band, and plus one, Mr. Doug Johns.
Hey,
Doug.
Man.
How you doing, Randy?
There he is.
Are we live on the air?
We are live.
WCSB, Cleveland.
Hey, man.
Do I say that a lot? Hey, man.
Hey, Doug, are you smoking?
Hell yeah, I'm smoking right now.
Yeah, man.
That's why I'll stay exclusively with the phoner, because I can smoke all I want.
Right. Doug likes to smoke.
That's right. I don't know why, though. You guys' volume is a little low. You got to tuck up on that mic a little bit there.
I turned everybody up a little bit just for you, Doug. Just for you.
Randy, I'm half deaf.
Uh-huh.
Well, Randy, last night you missed a good show. Travis Larson band was killing it in Akron, and they allowed us to come in and warm up the stage, and we had a blast at the end playing songs that we all didn't know.
Oh, yeah, we did. I think we did probably better than 30 minutes just us jamming at the end of the night, right?
See, now we know we got that time to kill, you know?
Right. Tonight we're going to do the same thing because who's going to stop us?
That's right.
Wow. Well, hey, Doug.
How's everything going, Randy? I mean, I'm glad to see the Fusion show is kicking here and everything. And of course, I can speak for them guys, too. We thank you for everything you're doing for that music without vocals. We appreciate you, man.
The Fusion show, music without vocals.
Well, you know, Doug, it's been a long time since we had you on, and it was so long since we spoke that I had to try to get the show back. We had to put it back on just so we could accommodate Mr. Doug Johns.
That's right. What's that?
It's Travis and his iPad. Don't encourage him.
Did you do that, Travis? Listen to him, too. He's laughing like a little kid, like,
Oh, my goodness.
That's great.
Oh, boy. But you got that disc number 4 out now. You're working on number 5. Is that how it's working for you?
Yes. We're working on 5 right now. I'm happy to say we've been recording. We've got a different vibe and sound. Jordan Simmons on drums, who was on the last one, he's been helping out a lot in the writing department and producing. I mean, he's just one of them young talents, you know, and I'm loving it, and I'm learning from it, and the new stuff sounds great. You know, I'm happy about it, and I'm, you know, I don't know. I'm looking maybe like a March mix date, so we'll probably be releasing somewhere in the spring if everything goes right.
Wow.
Yeah, we're hammering down.
Boy, you really got the accelerator down.
Yeah. You know, you're only as good as your last, I don't know, compositions, right? You got to keep doing it. You know, you got to do that Zappa thing.
Doug never stops doing it.
You guys hearing too much wind? I'm standing out by a creek right now in the country, and I just want to make sure.
Oh, I thought you were just inhaling.
Yeah, that's what I need to be doing, smoking weed on the program while we're having a phone. You ever had that, Randy? Someone that you know is obviously, like, high or something?
I've done an interview or two like that, yes. It's a little uncomfortable, to say the least.
Really?
Well, for me it is. You never know when they're going to start screwing things up badly.
Just popping in with some stuff. Yeah, I got
you. Well, you know, I had an interview like that once. It was a very, very respected guitarist and a very bizarre guy.
Right.
Mr. David Allen from Gong.
I'm not hip. David Allen.
David Allen. He was the original Pierre Morlin's Gong. He was the one that had the band before Pierre Morlin took it over.
Okay.
And poor David Allen was at an airport. I think he was having trouble hearing, and I think he thought we were picking on him.
Okay.
And he got really belligerent with me, so I don't know what he was what he was smoking.
It sounds like Doug's doing some shoveling or something out there.
I got all these leaves everywhere, you know, pushing these leaves off the deck. Hey, Travis, you guys think you might have a chance to stop by? I know it's tight. I know you guys are on the road and rolling.
We're sure going to try. It's just a matter of when I can get everybody up tomorrow, but we'll see.
I
would love to. I definitely want to see the place.
Yeah, we'll make it out. We'll make it out.
Doug's cooking breakfast.
Randy, you're not invited.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to you. No. Of course you're invited, too.
Loving the iPad right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, Randy. I mean, you'll be the first to get a CD in your hands, if I make a CD, because I'm kind of on the fence about that, you know, this whole CDs are fading thing.
Oh, no, come on, Doug. You're over 40. You need to make a CD.
What do you mean I'm over 40? Who says that?
I'm saying
come on,
that, I'm
old
saying
school.
We as a generation are not allowed to let that die. You know what I mean? People
yeah, I
need
you.
To be able
you.
To hold textiles in their hands. They want to read
that's
credits.
True.
None of this all digital garbage. You got to do it for real,
you.
Man.
I got you. I mean, if anything, we're keeping the oil industry alive with burning, making these CDs and everything. You
exactly.
It's not a very good message we're putting out here, Trav. You know? Well, I hear you. I mean, let's face it, the kind of music we like to do, I mean, it's that CD generation, you know. They like to hold it in their hands, you know.
If you're not standing there signing stuff at the end of a show, then you're losing out on tons of opportunities, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. This is a whole conversation itself. I love this because you're right. I mean, it's like, it's totally generational, isn't it? You know, yes, I keep hearing download only, download only. I'm like, I don't know. People I know wouldn't do that, you know?
And if you bring your SD card to the gig, Doug will sign it.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'll
send Randy, they've got so many cute things, too, that you can give somebody, you know, like a little keychain or, a piece of kibasi, whatever, that has your tune on it. You know?
Hey, Doug, I got to tell you, this is the truth. We just played out in New York, and we all signed a guy's iPhone cover.
No
that,
shit.
That really happened.
Oops, well, there goes first cuss word
oops.
That just slipped there. Sorry about that.
Yeah, he can only go
really?
To like two concerts before it's
phone?
Full. But yeah, we signed the guy's phone. But you can only do it. You know, he can only go to like two shows to get the band to sign it before he's got to get like another one.
Right.
Pretty soon, you're collecting
right.
iPhone covers, right?
Wow, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, but he's got a heck of a collection of iPhone covers.
Right. I hope he only has, like, the album that applies to the signatures in his phone.
Right.
If he's got, like, 10,000 songs or something, then how do you do that?
Dig it.
It's just like a solid silver phone now.
So
hey, I'm glad people are listening. You know, I'm grateful, you know, and thanks to Randy, people are listening, you know?
Absolutely, Doug. Just for you, we're doing this. You realize...
Really?
Just for you.
Okay. BS.
We come all the way to Cleveland just to see you, Doug.
Hey, we always have fun when we get together, but you know, it's been a while since I've been out in California, so I got to get my butt back out there, you know.
That's true. We got to arrange like a run or something one of these days.
Yep. Randy, they got this cool club right down the street from where they live. It's called the Frog and Peach. That's what it's called, right? Trev?
The Frog and Peach Pub.
And it's that classic, you know, the kind of club we all like. You know, you're all packed in there. There's no room.
Yeah,
the stage stinks, but it's just got the vibe all day long, you know. No, actually, the stage is kind of cool. It's right by the window. You know, people on the street can hear.
Yeah, it's like solid people in the club, solid people outside the club.
Yeah.
It's just like the people never stop, but you see them through, like, windows and the open door. And
they almost just
need to knock the whole front wall down, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But I like that club. I love that club.
In San Luis Obispo, they have a little better weather for that type of occasion.
Yeah, man.
That's true.
You guys live in the most awesome town.
Don't tell anybody.
It's a beautiful place.
Oprah Winfrey had it on her last season as happiest place in America.
Really?
That's true. That's a true story.
Travis is bringing it down.
Right.
Yeah. No, I love that place.
You're killing
cool.
the property values.
Imagine if I showed up out there, what would happen?
It's a musician infestation.
They wouldn't let you in, Randy.
I know.
They wouldn't let you in.
I know. They wouldn't.
So, Randy, are you coming tonight to Wilbert's? I believe the get down is like 8:30, somewhere around there. Does that sound about right, Trev?
Yeah, something like that. Get there around 8:30. You guys hit at 9. People show up, get themselves something to eat.
Okay, cool.
I will be there.
All right. Well, we're going to have fun. I mean, last night was just... You know, whenever we get together, it's kind of like we're just playing in the basement or something, you know. We're just having fun with it, which is the way it's supposed to be, you know. And I think that comes across whenever we get together with the TLB, so we just have a blast.
Yeah, we don't, there's no posturing with us and Doug. That's what's so great about it.
Well, has Doug learned any new bass tricks now? Is he doing anything different?
Bass tricks, is that what they are, eh?
Doug's been turning bass tricks his whole life.
just the groove, Randy. I'm just always trying to respect that groove, you know. You know, I try to get the stiffest person in the room to move his booty in the seat, and then I got you.
Doug, you know, you're just a pocket full of nasty.
Pocket full of nasty, exactly.
Hey,
what do we name this next record, Randy? We always talk about this. What do we got here? Give me some ideas. What do you got?
You know, I'm telling you, after Pocketful of Nasty, you can't come up with a better name than that. That is one of the best names for a record I've ever heard.
Yeah, I think both you and Travis were pretty much responsible for that, if I remember right. You know, it came up somewhere in conversation, and it ended up sticking, you know?
I completely agreed with Randy on that one. That was when you called me and asked me about that one, I was like, that is absolutely what you have to call it. And you were saying, really? And I'm like, absolutely. Like, you don't have a choice.
What a great name.
It really shows the insecurity on my part that I'm like calling my buddies. Is this okay? What do you think? You know, like what's wrong with me? Just name the thing, you know?
Well, I'm kind of think you're calling up saying, this is my new name for the record. I was thinking about it. I came up with it. You didn't.
But that's how you come up with cool stuff, is you actually check with other people, whereas we come up with all kinds of stupid stuff because we don't go outside our bubble.
I got you. No, you guys got the groove, man. Well, I'll tell you what, Dale, you got the MVP last night with your solo out in that Jeff Beck tune. You was getting down.
Yeah, no. Chris was the MVP, just coming out of retirement and smoking all those songs. But yeah, I did solo in 7, and I was awesome.
He was smoking those songs right now, man.
Smoking.
Chris is cool, man.
Is Chris coming down tonight?
Yes.
Are you guys staying at Chris's? Are you over at Chris's?
Yeah, we're staying with Chris.
Yep.
How is it? How's everything going over there?
Oh, it's always great with those guys, you know.
Do you see his new car? He's all...
I've seen it in the driveway, but he hasn't talked about it much.
It's in the garage. We haven't seen it yet.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. No, yeah, so I think I saw her car in the driveway then.
That's great.
Oh, so that's how it goes.
So we get it. Yeah. He doesn't want us borrowing it. That's the thing.
He gets the garage. He gets the leaves in the driveway. I see.
I remember we came into town once, you know, and we didn't have a car because we were with Mark Storm. And I asked Chris if he could borrow his car. And he goes, I don't loan out my car, man. Even to us.
Okay, well, I guess that's his vibe, you know.
Hey, you still racing, Doug?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was talking with Randy the other day, and I sold my race car to build a recording studio, but I'm already started on another race car, like an idiot. And you can't lose it, you know. It's I don't know. You get that addiction to horsepower, you'll always be messing with something. I'm still building them, you know, for everybody, and that's probably the problem. I'm always thinking, I should build one for myself. Well, I already started on another, so.
Well, I know you're going to want to get that recording studio done ASAP so you can start the next record after the next record.
That's right. It's funny, Travis, because I'm half recording in a studio that's being created and half in Lorain, you know, where I usually record.
Right.
You know, I got gear strewn everywhere, but, you know, these days you can record anywhere.
Right.
Well, but, yeah, I don't have my race car that I had last time we talked, and I'm glad I sold it. You know, I'm saying that, but I'm buying when I'm saying it.
Right. You're right.
You had that voice inflection. I'm glad I sold it.
Right. I'm glad I sold it.
I'd do it again.
That's the problem. No wonder why we can never get a hold of Doug. He's either creating music or driving a race car.
That's right. Cars and guitars.
Cars and guitars.
You're as bad as doggone Billy Gibbons.
See, I'm...
Is he a car guy?
Oh, big time.
I'm cars and guitars.
My car's faster than his car.
That's probably true.
Yeah, but he's got really cool ones. He's
a
got
a cooler.
He owns the Cadzilla.
Oh, now that's an awesome car.
See, we're all cars and guitars, but it's all rental cars and guitars.
That's right. Hey, is that how you guys are rolling? You've been having all the different rental cars?
Yeah, we did the Western States and the Death Star, which you know well.
Oh, yeah, the Death Star.
And then we rent on the Eastern States. We fly out, and then we've been renting the mini Death Star.
You got like a van and everything, you're packing full.
Yeah, just a little one. You know, we kind of do the economy tours on the East Coast because it's so hard to bring out all that gear now, you know.
Yeah, I know the feeling. It's the same thing when we go to your the left side, you know.
Yeah.
To bring all your stuff, it's just nearly impossible, you know.
Yeah, but you know, Jen's got four 410 cabs for you, and you only need one of those, so.
Really? Four 410s, Jen? That's what you got now?
Yeah.
This is when the conversation turns to gear.
Right.
Yep.
That's like a wall of sound.
It is.
Mine's bigger than yours.
Jen's is bigger than any of us.
Jen wins, hands down.
If you were here right now, Doug, there's a picture on the wall here where there's somebody that has something that's bigger than anybody's, and I'm not sure what exactly is going on, but some weird stuff's happening here at this radio station, because... I'm not really sure.
What are you guys talking about?
There's a picture on the wall. I can't talk too specifically. And
questionable off-color album art on Randy's wall.
I can't even post a picture of it online, but I'm fascinated, sort of.
You know, it's funny now. It's my walls. I'm here twice a year to do a live show, and they become my walls.
Yep.
So Randy, explain to me a little bit. You're not in the studio all the time with the show? That's the deal?
We have been doing a production deal with the radio show where I'm actually creating it during the week, and then during the business hours when the show actually airs, it's a recorded show.
Gotcha.
And it's, you know, the shows are current, but it just is not live.
Okay. Previously on Randy Eller.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
The week that was.
But then you don't get people sweeping.
As long as you do the interview and it, you know, it drops with the show or whatever, you know, everything works out good. You know?
Right. We've been working it that way. Alan Parsons was like that. He was interviewed about a week before and then dropped in the week of the show.
Gotcha.
Terry Bozzio was exactly the same thing.
Hey, by the way, did he do that Nighttown hit?
Yeah, he did.
Did he bring that whole kid in there?
Every bit of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How'd they fit that in there, you know?
Barely.
We were just talking about this, Doug, because we just did Mexico hit right after Terry played there. And he's got on his rider, he won't play a place if they can't roll those cases straight onto a stage.
Really?
Yeah, so it's like so much stuff, right?
I played with Terry, but we never met.
Yeah.
Through Dweezil Zappa, was doing a record, and he had a pre-recorded track, you know, of what Terry would perceive was going to go down with the groove, and then I just listened to it and played with it. You know, it's kind of like we were playing, I don't know, virtually or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I never did get to hear how it turned out. I'm curious.
It's got
to
be out there somewhere, right? Or did it not get released yet?
I don't know.
Well, what year was it that you did this?
A long time ago.
Doug's over 40 now, you know.
No. I'm only 32.
Right.
No, I proudly say that next in February I turn 50.
Oh man, you know the control you have over those reading glasses on stage is uncanny, though.
Yeah, I was trying to do that whole forehead flip thing. I can't do it.
Oh man, I tell you,
you're the best.
It sucks. I just either got to wear glasses. And I'll tell you, I tried those contacts. I can't stick my finger in my eye. I just can't do it. It might be one of those things where you try it when you're young, you're good at it. I don't know. I can't hang with it.
I did that for over 10 years, maybe like...
You did?
Yeah, 10, 15 years. And then when the LASIK got good enough to handle how bad my eyes were, I got the LASIK.
And it was totally cool?
It was awesome. It's like the best thing you'll ever do for yourself.
Really?
Yeah.
Listen, this is such old man talk, you know. We're supposed to be talking about the fusion. Fusion, you know. We're talking about our couple
old man rock stars talking about their bad eyesight.
Well, you are. You're talking about fusing your eyes.
fusing our retinas.
Dale?
Yeah.
That's great. Hold on. Back to this eye thing. So that really worked.
it absolutely worked. It was amazing. And we have one of the best guys in San Luis Obispo.
I'll never know if I'll really have a chance to do this. Hey, Dad, I'm talking live on the radio right now. This is my dad. Say hi to my dad, everybody.
Hey, Dad.
Hi.
Hey, Dad.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Mr. Johns.
Hey,
how are you?
Hey, Mr. Johns.
There you go.
Hey, what's your dad's name?
Buzz. Yes.
So it's like Buzz Senior, Buzz Junior, right?
Yep, that's
wow.
it. Exactly.
Wow, I've never actually met your dad face-to-face.
He's awesome.
Does he actually live out there near you now? Or
he is kind of near me, actually. Yeah, he's probably about 25 minutes away. 20 miles away.
So
yeah.
you're going back home.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, my dad's awesome. He comes out, and I put him to work right now.
Wow.
We're working on some things around the house. And he says I'm a slave driver.
I can see that.
I get to work, Dad. No more interview for you.
Get to work, Dad.
Oh, that's great.
Are we going to hear a Doug John song?
Well, you know, I'm about out of time today, so we're going to have to wrap things up with Mr. Doug.
Hey, well, tonight, let's get down at Wilbert's again, everybody.
Yeah, Wilbert's tonight.
And it's going to be great, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be Doug Hits at 9 o'clock, and then TLB after that, and then Doug and TLB always do like a hybrid crazy jam thing at the end of the night, and you don't want to miss that.
Yes, the TLB Doug thing.
What were they calling us last night? Travis Johns.
Oh, that's just wrong.
TJ.
No, it'll be cool. But thanks, Randy. I really appreciate you, you know, getting us out there and getting us, so our sound is in the air, you know.
Well, Doug, it's great to talk to you. Congratulations on everything. We're looking forward to the new record. So we'll expect
I'll expect it
in spring.
Okay, sounds good.
And, you know, you got to come up with another great name.
Well, you guys start working on it.
Yeah,
you know,
start calling
we'll
me.
We'll do a test. You know, we'll do like a whatever they call that. You know, test the audience.
Perfect. And we are out of time. Herb Urban is up next. He's going to take us on the anti-urban contemporary thing. Travis Larson Band. Travis, Jennifer, hey, Dale.
Hey, Randy. Real quick, is Herb there yet? Tell Herb I said hey.
Herb's not here yet. And it's Herb, only it's still like 5 minutes to Herb.
Herb was wandering around. I did see him.
Okay.
We will definitely tell Herb that Mr. Doug Johns says hello.
Tell him I said hey.
All right.
And we got to get you.
Have a great day,
Doug. We got to get you back down to the studio one of these days.
Okay, I'd love to. I'd love to come down here and play. I know you got that awesome place.
Yeah, we got the new studio. We're looking real good here. So.
Okay. Sounds like a deal.
Very good. We got one queued up from your newest record. What is it, Doug?
Let's go with Cartoon Brain. It's
Alrighty.
The last tune on the record there.
Alrighty. This is from Blomp.
Yes.
Mr. Doug Johns, and we will catch everybody hopefully tonight at the show. Hey, Doug.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
Doug.
Yes.
You're not going to believe who just walked in.
Who's that?
Herb did. Yell to him.
Herb, what the hell are you doing? You're late. He can't hear me, though, can he?
Yeah,
no,
he can.
He heard that.
I turned the microphone off so he could hear you yelling at him.
Okay, excellent.
Awesome.
All righty. We'll see you, Doug. Here's something called Cartoon right. Brain, the Travis Larson Band. We'll catch everybody again next Friday for the Fusion Show. Bye-bye,
Bye,
Cleveland.
Bye,
Thank
Randy.
You.
Bye.
Bye, Doug.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Long song.
What is it?